you're listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, shouting Sega into the microphone. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
And your buddy, Mike the Ghoul, your 16-bit friend, back to talk some classic gaming today.
Yes, last season we did a three podcasts discussing Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and Game Boy games. And we kept swearing over and over again that we would get around to doing Genesis. So we're going to touch upon Sega, and we're actually going to do just a little addendum on Master System. But first we want to discuss the big one that actually for a little while there was winning the console wars. That would be Sega Genesis.
Yeah, Sega, it was the cool system. Like, you know, everybody had a Nintendo, but your cool friend, your rebel friend had a Genesis. That was the way it was in my town. So, you know, I never had one. I was a Nintendo guy growing up, but I played a lot of these games and I can definitely appreciate them.
I had friends that had Genesis. I didn't have one myself until much later. I got a Nintendo. I got a Game Boy from my parents because I was lucky. I had to buy my own Super Nintendo because they're like, you're making allowance. You go buy it yourself. Okay, thanks. And then I didn't buy a Genesis until I was working at Blockbuster and they were selling off their old consoles at that point. And at that point, it was just like making a collection item and so forth. But like I've been a Nintendo guy through and through for years. Nintendo's putting out a new console. I must buy it.
Same.
So over the years, I've picked up Genesis games and I've learned to appreciate what they are about. And many of the games that are on this list are the ones that I know I like and I knew I should have, you know, played back in the day, but I wasn't as hip to it as other people were.
Like I played a fair amount of these top tens, but without owning one of these consoles, like there's a couple on here I was like, I never played that, but I know the game. So you know, we're gonna chat about it. We're gonna go over their top 10 list. It's from Den of Geek, and we'll kind of tell you how we feel about them.
But one thing I want to touch upon right at the start is it feels like, so when we were discussing Nintendo games, most of the really good games on their lists came from Nintendo.
Right.
But it seems interesting to me that a lot of the good games that are on this list in the top 20 come from other companies, not Sega.
Interesting point right there. It is. We kind of touched on that. Nintendo really like has grasp around their property. And I thought it was quite a big deal, you know, when the Switch started bringing on those third party games that you could play on there. Like, I thought that was crazy. So Nintendo historically has really kind of stuck to their product, their brand, their name on things. So Genesis was kind of the rebel of the group.
We're not going to touch upon every one of these in great detail, but we will at least mention some of them. And number 20 on their list, which I have on my Super Nintendo and is a fantastically weird game, is Earthworm Jim.
That is a classic. I play that on Super Nintendo too. It's just a funky game with a funky, you know, protagonist.
Yeah.
It's just a fun game. It's a good thing.
I never played Rocket Knight Adventures. I know people swear by it, but it's another mascot adventure game. But again, people do swear by it.
It seems like, looking at like the thumbnail of it, it's a very early precursor to like Ratchet and Clank, maybe almost. So like, I mean, maybe there's some history there. I don't know.
Golden Axe. Everyone knows Golden Axe. That's one of Sega's big brawlers, but this time with, like, barbarian dudes. Because what's better than fighting but Conan fighting?
And you get, like, little animals that you collect the jar. I played that in the arcade. Like, I loved Golden Axe. It was fun. It was better on the Sega than the Super Nintendo 2, which was interesting.
Shining Force 2. I've played the shit out of both the main Shining Force games, and Shining Force 2 is absolutely amazing.
I'm going to defer to you here. It's a tactical RPG I did not play, which is, you know, sad because I like those kind of games. But, you know, I see it as a cross between, like, Final Fantasy and Fire Emblem as the description, and I can dig that.
Yeah, it's the problem I have with, like, tactics or, like, Ogre Battle or whatever is I've played Shining Force first, and I like the speed and the play of Shining Force, and then to go and try and play these other games, they don't hold up for me.
Too slow, yeah.
Too slow, yeah. I don't buy it. Herzog's Wah! Is one of those shooters that everyone swears by, and I'm not a shooters person.
It looks fun, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Jet Fighter, Macross style. Like, you know, I dig anime. I big robots. Like, and sure, I'd play.
And then Vector Man is a platformer I think I played once, and I don't know. I don't know why people like this. I'm going to be honest. I was never impressed.
And I'd never played it, and I mean, no thanks.
Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine at number 14. It's a Puyo Puyo clone. I like this game, but I liked it as Kirby's Avalanche, which is what it is.
Yep. It's also very much like, you know, looks kind of like Snood and Dr. Mario Wannabe, like back in the day. But
love this game.
Whatever.
I mean, I love the game as Kirby's Avalanche, and they're all basically, there was this one, there was Kirby's Avalanche, and there was Puyo Pop in Japan, and they're all literally the same game. They just move some of the menus around, and that's it. So if you've played one, you've played them all.
Fair enough.
Yep. NHL 94. I am not a sports person. I'm going to defer to you on this.
One of the greatest sports games ever made is NHL 94. So this game absolutely belongs on here. I am happy that they have a sports game on here. This is the correct one.
Mortal Kombat 2. The best, in my opinion, of the Mortal Kombats for this era. Like, I get why people like Mortal Kombat 3, but that was where the series was starting to get kind of bloated. This was just the right level of cool things to figure out and a lot of characters.
I still remember the blood code to this day on this game. So, you know what? Classic fighter, classic brawler. It was before, like you said, they ballooned to like 50 characters or whatever they have now. I think this was like 16. It was the right number for the franchise at the time, yeah.
And then you get into, like, Ultimate Mortal Kombat, which has every character and every variation. That's already too far. Too much going on. And then the one I know you were saying is a little weird to not have it in the top 10, Contra Hardcore.
Good game. Like, this one I played at my buddy's house. This is a fun game. This was Contra. This was hard. The music slaps. Like, this is just a great game if you never played it.
I agree with it needing to be on the top 20. I think I would probably also agree with you it should be higher. I like the Contra series. I think they're all good. This one I actually like better than Contra 3, The Alien Wars. I feel it's a tighter experience with more characters to experiment with. I like the power-ups better. I think the crazy Sega Genesis way of doing things was actually more fun than the Super Nintendo one. And I'm a Nintendo guy, but this is the better Contra game.
Yeah, agreed. This was the better game. This is where... The Contra game that you wanted to play, this was the one. Your buddy had the Genesis, had that one.
My sibling loves Toe Jam and Earl, and we're now into the top 10. And this is such a weird, bizarre, roguelike game that if you don't know what you're doing, you're basically lost.
Yeah, this feels very much like, you know, that Boy in Your Blob for the Nintendo. I had no idea what I was doing, no idea go, but it was just a fun game. You know, there were goofy characters, but I never beat this one. I could never figure it out as a kid.
It's so weird because you've got to balance like the territories you're going to and figure out a route through, but you also have to acknowledge the fact that it's a roguelike, which means you're never going to get the same experience twice, which is actually kind of cool in a way, but hard as hell to figure out. And then like it was so weird that when they did a sequel, they just ruined all of it and made a platformer.
Roguelites are tough for like, you know, a younger kid to kind of get into. Like, I can appreciate those so much more as an adult than I would have ever at 12 years old. You know, I'd be like, why am I playing this time and where's that power up? Or why am I doing this time? Why is it different? It would get frustrating as a kid. So it was an interesting choice, but it was a fun game nonetheless, even though I couldn't figure it out.
The second brawler on our list coming in at number 9 is Streets of Rage 2.
The superior Streets of Rage game, yes.
Of all of them. Yeah, like, it was the right blend of goofy action and hard-as-nails combat that it wasn't so strange like Golden Axe was, but it wasn't also, like, it didn't suffer from what, like, Final Fight suffered from. It had, like, perfect blend. Streets of Rage was the right beat-em-up for the right era.
Oh, for sure. I played Streets of Rage 1 the heck out of that one. When my buddy Streets of Rage 2, like, oh boy, did we play the heck out of that too. It was just a great game. It was like it was just a better version of Double Dragon that you grew up with like 8 years prior. It was just so good.
The proper arcade Double Dragon, not the NES version.
Yes.
Castlevania Bloodlines. Okay, I'm the Castlevania fan.
Take this one. This one I saw and I was like, ooh, what is he going to say about this one? Let me get my tea.
I will be honest with you. I think I would switch Hardcore and Bloodlines. I feel like Hardcore is the better game overall, and especially for what it did for the Contra series and the amount of love that is felt for Hardcore at this point. It should be number 8. Castlevania Bloodlines is great, but it's always been dwarfed by the games that came around it. Super Castlevania 4 on one end and Symphony of the Night on the other. So, this is a good entry. Is it as good as either of those? I don't think so. It's a little too hard. It's a little too goofy. Its controls are a little stickier than I like. Like, I don't like it as much as I like Castlevania 4, and there's no way that a like it was gonna beat Symphony of the Night.
Yeah, Symphony of the Night is, you know, even I, who played, you know, the original Castlevania, and like that was pretty much it, knows what Symphony of the Night is. Mm-hmm. I didn't remember Bloodlines. So a good game, I'm sure, but it was one that never stuck out to me or I played.
It was fun enough, and it was on the Sega channel for a while, so people got to play it. But, like, it's... I don't know that I'd have it at number 8, honestly. Yeah. Beyond Oasis is a weird game. It's almost Zelda.
I'm looking at it like it's a top-down, like, Prince of Persia kind of...
It's very pretty. It's very pretty. It had, like, a Saturn sequel. Visually stunning to play. A lot of fun. A lot of, interesting value to it. I don't know. I think this is one of those ones that I would probably move further down the list, though, because it's not a standout title to me the way, like, I mean, Mortal Kombat 2 or Golden Axe or something is. It's fun. It's an interesting adventure. But I think it suffers from being hard to get into.
I think this is one of those games that we kind of find on lists like this that, like, you know, if you knew, you knew.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you didn't know, you didn't get it. And this one I didn't play either. You know, it looks like really cool. It looks like a game that I wouldn't mind playing. You know, the graphics are pretty good. The coloring is nice. But I mean, it talking about the description of it, it's basically like a Legend of Zelda clone. Mm-hmm. I mean, I played Zelda.
I think that's one of the things is when someone compiles a list like this, they're like, we have to have our versions of the games that Nintendo had, and Beyond Oasis is our Zelda. We need to put it on this list. I don't think it's as good. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I've tinkered in it. I don't care for it as, like, it's good, but it's not that good. It's not top 20 good.
Yeah. And speaking of games that we need to get that Nintendo had, number 6 here, Shinobi 3 Return of the Master Ninja, basically just wanted to be Ninja Gaiden Light.
Yeah, like, Sega had their own, like, style to the Shinobi games. They're a little more beat-em-up, a little chunkier, a little bigger. Mm-hmm. But you could also feel them going, well, they've got, Ninja Gaiden on Tecmo, and the Ninja Gaiden games they gave us weren't as successful. Let's have our own. Yeah.
And, you know, it looks like a fun game, but it was another one of those games I just didn't own it.
It's, and there's a lot of them, and I know, like, they got really weird as the series went on, and I started tuning out because it's Shinobi. There's a reason why they still try and make Ninja Gaiden games, but you don't hear much about Shinobi anymore, and that's just because, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, is this really better than Mortal Kombat 2? Is that what we're really saying? Because that feels a little weird.
It does, yeah. It does feel strange. Mortal Kombat, you know, it's... Everybody knows that one. Let's just leave it at that.
Sonic the Hedgehog 2. I'm sure this is not the only Sonic game we're going to see on this list.
It's not the first.
Yeah. Sonic 2, I think, is an improvement over Sonic 1 in most respects, as long as you can get past the god-awful sewer stage.
Oh, God, yeah. The chemical plant or whatever it was.
Chemical plant, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's so bad.
The music was a banger. The level was brutal.
But it introduced all the things I think that Sonic series is basically known for at this point, at least in the 2D sphere. The boosting, the bigger loops, fucking Tails is included in this. Like, it adds in everything that you expect in a Sonic game at this point. There's a reason why Sonic and Tails always show up in every game now, and that's because, like, they're the core. You can't have the game without both of them around.
Yeah, they are Sega's version of Mario and Luigi. And this was the superior Sonic game to the original. The original was fun. It was good. But, like, this one had just a little more polish to it. It wasn't as gritty looking. It was slightly cartoonier, but much brighter than the original game. The music was a lot better. I played the shit out of this one. This was one of my favorites on the console.
I think it's the most balanced of the Sonic games. And, yes, that is me including Sonic 3 and Knuckles, which I'm sure... number one on this list for some reason.
I'm sure it is.
And don't get me wrong, that lock-on technology was amazing, and the ability to take that and then put it back on Sonic 2 for a Knuckles adventure, or connect the two together to make one big Sonic 3 and Knuckles. Fantastic. So good. Technically two separate carts, so you don't combine them together if you don't need to. But, like, those are great, but that's a lot of game, and I think for a single session of Sonic 2 nailed it perfectly.
Yeah, that's a game you can beat in one sitting in like an hour or two if you're pretty good. And it feels good and it feels rewarding. This is before the time of, you know, 30, 40 hour grinding games and all that kind of stuff. This was really well done. It was crisp. It was concise. And, you know, I just Sonic 2 has some of the best music in any video game ever, and it just, to this day, I will stand by that. It's brilliant.
So we have Monster World 4, which I'm assuming is a game you haven't played because it's kind of Metroidvania-ish.
Yeah, I don't know that one either.
Yeah, it's the Monster World series has gone under actually a number of different names, Wonder Boy and so forth. It's had a lot of spin-offs and other weird things connected to it. It's a fun series, but you've kind of, like, you fall down a rabbit hole of Metroidvania when you're in it. And, like, they get very pretty and they get very cool, but also Monster World 4 is, like, so far into the series that most people didn't play that, sure, yes, okay, you want it on the list, I get why you want it on the list, but when you're talking about something so obscure that most people didn't play, does it deserve to be at number 4?
It's another one of those items that feels like that they're grabbing to put on here because, like, you know, this was really great, goddammit, and people know how great this was.
Why,
like,
didn't anyone play this?
Yeah. And to your point, like, to put the fourth installment on a list like this, just, it feels weird to me because, like, if you didn't play the first three, you didn't play the fourth one, so how are you going to appreciate it for what it is? Mm-hmm. It's odd choices whenever I see that on lists.
However, one I will appreciate for what it is Gunstar Hero at number 3.
I wish I played more of this. Like, I remember my buddy so had good. This one, and we played it a little bit, but, like, I don't remember it as much as I really wish I could.
This was done by Treasure, who basically spun out of a core team at Konami and went off to do their own thing. And they did some amazing work. They did a Ronald McDonald game for the Sega Genesis, which you wouldn't think would be good because it's a Ronald McDonald game. But it is probably one of the best mascot platformers that has ever been released. It's stupid what they could do with a game. And Gunstar Hero is peak Treasure. They made probably the best Contra game that isn't a Contra, better than most or even all of the Contra games. It's so dynamic. It's so interesting. It's like, it is the best shooting game I think I've ever played.
It looks like a fun game too. Like, that's high praise. And I know you've said, you know, shooters really aren't your thing here and there, but to hear that on a game that old, like, so that good. That holds up. Like, so that's good. A game I'd want to play.
I know you're not an RPG fan, so Phantasy Star 4 probably flew right over your head as well.
I was a Final Fantasy for the Nintendo, man. You know, I didn't play Phantasy Star. Another one that's, you know, the fourth installment of a franchise.
Well,
such an interesting choice.
But in this particular instance, I kind of understand why. Because, as an explanation, the Phantasy Star series went through a weird series of releases. Phantasy Star 1 came out on the Master System, and Sega didn't even want to release it in America. They tried as hard as they could to not put it out, and then when they got forced to by, like, their American subsidiary, they said they had to charge $100 for it at a time when games were $40 to $50.
Wow.
And it wasn't for anything specific about the cart that it was expensive. They just said, you got to charge $100 for it, hoping that it would die and they wouldn't have to localize anything else. But then it was, despite that, a huge success. So when the Genesis came along, Phantasy Star 2 came out, and it ended on a cliffhanger that you would think would get resolved in Phantasy Star 3, but Phantasy Star 3 was set 1,000 years after Phantasy Star 2 and doesn't address any of the storylines of it. And then Phantasy Star 4 came out and finishes the storyline from Phantasy Star 2. It's fucked up.
What an interesting choice.
It's so, like, weird. But, like, dynamically and for how the RPG series built and for everything that went with it, Phantasy Star 4 is arguably the one to choose because it closed out the series, and then for the next set of games, they did something completely different. They did, like, Phantasy Star Online and all of that, which are very different games.
Interesting. Interesting choice to, like, you know, in between the second installment and the fourth installment to go in a direction when something's left on a cliffhanger,
it's,
like,
hated.
That addresses nothing.
No,
it's so weird.
It's absolutely hated. Phantasy Star 3 is considered the black sheep of the franchise. It's like Final Fantasy 2 for the NES.
They
hate that game. Even though it has, like, great mechanics and it's very pretty and it, like from a gameplay perspective, it pushes the series forward. Mm-hmm. But, like, fans of Phantasy Star are like, oh, Phantasy Star 3, that's the one I don't care about.
That's interesting. Uh-huh. That's what a strange choice.
Right.
I can imagine, like, being a kid, like, waiting for Phantasy Star 3 to come out and, like, you know, after the way 2 ended and playing.
Yes.
Excited for what you're going to, and you get a game that is not at all expecting.
Unrelated in all respects. Yeah, no, oh, it's man. So bad.
So it's the Halloween 3 of the franchise.
Yeah, pretty much. And then they were like, oh, we're not going to do that again. Yeah, no. Yeah. Then finally, as I expected, because we were discussing it, Sonic 3 and Knuckles, which they put as a single cart at number 1. And I do... I do have issues with that. I understand that Sonic 3 and Knuckles was designed as one massive game and they had to separate it apart, but you released it as two titles. Like,
was
and you can play each one separately.
Is that the one that, like, inserted into each other?
Yes.
Okay, I remember this.
So you could play Sonic 3, or you could play Sonic and Knuckles, or you could play Sonic 3 and Knuckles, or you could even play Knuckles in Sonic 2, based on the lock-on technology. And then if you popped any other cart in, it gave you a random version of Blue Sphere to play.
Very interesting.
It was very cool. I liked it. I understand that they were designed as one large game, but they were released as two games. And just because you can lock them together, I feel like it's a cheat to put the whole thing together as one.
Yeah, that feels like it's a bit of a cheat. I'm trying to think of a different word to not use that word. Almost a cop-out, I guess, but that doesn't feel strong
for
enough.
For the list, yeah.
I mean, like, you made 22 titles on a list that's 20 games long. And you're like, oh, shit, we got to squeeze this in here now. It was a fun game. I still think, I think it was very good. I liked playing this one. I still think Sonic 2 was a better game for me
when I
grew up. And then maybe that's just me. And, you know, that's an opinion and that's fine.
I liked the way that Sonic 2 set up its bonus zones. I liked how you got into them. I liked how the exploration worked. So each Sonic game kind of changed how those things went. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Sonic 3's was a little more obtuse and a little too focused on making you collect everything. And because there were so many more gems that you had to get in the combined game, if we're going to discuss it as a combined game, then it just, it kind of made things even more dumb and collect-a-thon-ish. And my brain shuts down when things become too collect-a-thon-ish.
Yeah, I like to open boxes. I like to collect things in the games I play. But, I mean, bonus stages are exactly that. They're bonus. They're extra points. They're a power up here or there. They're adding to your score when they're almost like required to like get certain aspects of the game done. It just that always frustrated me. It just did.
Yeah, and I do think that there are better games like Sonic 2 could be on here. I'm the weird person that really likes Sonic Spinball, and I'd probably have that somewhere on the top 20. I know I'm one of the only people that likes that game, but I like that game so. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I played a lot of sports games because we were nerds. So I played, you know, I played Joe Montana football and Sports Talk football. Like, those were fun games, you know. But NHL 94, I think, is the right choice if you're putting a sports game on here. Mortal Kombat, I think we agree, should be a little bit higher, you know, based off of what it is. I mean, Mortal Kombat is still around now. When was the last time we got a Shinobi game? When was the last time we got, you know, a Fantasy Axe. Star game, a Golden Axe. Like, I mean, there has to be something to the longevity of the product and IP as well, you know, and fine if you want to say this, that, and the third. But, like, I mean, to put Mortal Kombat so low and other games a little bit higher, just it's an interesting choice.
Yeah. And because we haven't touched upon it, I do feel like we should at least look at, you know, the Master System for very, very briefly. Very briefly.
Sure. Yeah, we can. I'm trying to decide on what order this list is going in. Like, yeah,
we got this one from Retro Dodo, and they kind of just picked stuff at random. It almost feels like it's not even like it's listed in order. But
it just feels like games that we liked kind of thing.
Games
you know?
We liked. It's just games we liked. And, like, there's some interesting ones on here. The better arcade perfect version of Double Dragon is on the list, which, sure. Double Dragon. I get that. And I like the NES version, but it's weird RPG mechanics and the fact that it's only one player. That's a crime. That's an absolute crime. Yeah. Marble Madness is on here, and it looks exactly the same as the NES version. Which
I saw that. I'm like, wait a minute, what?
Oh, look. Shinobi.
Yeah, look at that. I remember this Mickey game.
Oh, yeah.
I remember playing the Mickey game. I was this Land of Illusion starring Mickey Mouse.
Uh-huh.
I remember playing that at, like, one of my aunt's friend's son had it, like, at, like, one house I went to.
Oh,
all
those
time.
Mickey games.
Stuff like that, you know, sticks with you when you see, you know, Mickey or Bugs Bunny in a game when you're, you know, 10 years old. So
I think it was impressive that they could do vaguely 3D style games like Outrun and Space Harrier on this console, because it wasn't meant for that at all.
Yeah,
like, just not at all. But, like, some of the games, like, again, Outrun is Outrun. It's fun, but it's so much better in the arcade, and it's just not that great on the Master System. Some other games, like Fantasy Zone and Fantasy Zone 2, which are really interesting, like shooters, I like those a lot better.
Yeah, other games on here, too, like Afterburner. I remember that game shit as a kid, and I didn't realize that was a Master System product as well. Operation Wolf, I remember playing that too, didn't realize that was on Master System. So they definitely brought some product from there over to the Genesis as well. It's kind of interesting.
The most famous Castlevania clone before Bloodlines came to Sega Genesis, Vampire Master of Darkness.
I see that, yeah. Yep, and then we got Ghouls and Ghosts on here as well. California Games. Wow, it's almost like this is like some of the regular Nintendo stuff's version. I remember California Games on the Nintendo. That's funny.
Yeah, but the interesting thing always was that, generally speaking, the Nintendo version had to be different from any other version that was out there due to the licensing that Nintendo required. So, yeah. But then you got some games that were specific to the Master System that you didn't get anywhere else, like Sonic Chaos is its own version of Sonic, unlike anything else. You had the Alex Kidd games that started here and so forth, and then two Zelda clones like Golden Axe Warrior and Govelius. There was a good library here, don't get me wrong, but if you were a Nintendo kid, you were a Nintendo kid.
Yeah, you didn't play these. You know, I don't remember Master System. I can think of maybe one house that I played at one time that had it. But I do remember the cartridges. They will always stick out as being unique. That grid pattern on there, it was just really weird. And like some of them just had like words on them, like no pictures or very like, you know, toned down pictures. Like it's just like a lot of really just cool stuff. Like just, you know, nostalgic kind of looking at, you know?
No, I liked the Genesis for what it was, even without recognizing that I was a Nintendo fanboy. I was a Nintendo fanboy. But I think that for the kinds of games that I really liked, Nintendo had more that was interesting to me. I liked the RPGs, and they had Square making all kinds of great games on there. Enix making interesting Dragon Warriors. Their consoles had the games that I liked. And I've never, like, as good as Phantasy Star 4 is, I've never felt that it was as good as, like, Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, I can see what you mean. Now, Chrono Trigger is one I touched on that in a previous podcast about how good that game is. So, like, you know, Nintendo, even though there was a period of time where Genesis kind of was almost surpassing them and winning the console wars, Nintendo just always seemed to do things just like a little bit better at the time. And then, I think that's why they kind of, you know, are the product they are today with the following they have.
Yeah, and then they just killed it and brought things back around right around the time of Sonic and Knuckles, actually. Sega came out with that, and it was like, oh my god, this is amazing. And then Nintendo just quietly came around and was like, oh, by the way, Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah, and this one looks really good and done by Rare, and, you know, wire framing stuff and the way it's done on the computer. Like, it's all just really cool. And, like, you know, you're a 10, 12-year-old kid, you're going to gravitate to that.
It was amazing, and they had a winning franchise that pulled the console war back around, and suddenly Nintendo was in the lead again for a few short years until Sony was like, oh, by the way, Sony PlayStation. And I was like, oh my god, the PlayStation! And I was like, fuck.
And, you know, I was a Nintendo kid growing up, too, and I've turned into a PlayStation adult. You know, I have a PS5, but I have a Switch, and I will purchase a Switch, too, and, like, you know, but there was a period of time between, you know, the Super Nintendo and the Switch where all I had was, like, a Game Boy. You know, I didn't have a pure console when it came to Nintendo. It was PlayStation. You know, that was just where the games were. That was what I had.
Yep. No, I get it. And Sega... Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised that Sega went to only video game releases soon after. Like, they desperately tried to get their footing back. They had the Sega CD, which felt like them, like, being, like, a victory lap for winning the console war, and then hubris caught up with them, and they're like, wait, we're not winning the console war? What?
Yeah, the Sewer Shark, I remember, for Sega CD, was just, like, such a terribly fun game to play, and, like, that was the only game I think any of my friends...
Yeah, and then they had a 32X, which no one bought anything for. It's so weird. Yeah. That whole weird big stacking tower that you could put everything together on. It was so goofy. It's great, but it's goofy. And then they put out Saturn soon after the 32X, and, like, no one cared because they just bought the 32X. And then they put out Dreamcast soon afterwards because the Saturn tanked. And everyone was like, why do you keep making us buy stuff? Would you just put games out?
Yeah, you just do one thing and do it well. Stop trying to keep up with everybody.
Yeah.
Like, and the Dreamcast, what a brutal controller to hold, too, back. I mean, oh my god. Probably, like, the worst controller that I've ever used in any gaming system ever.
I like the games for it a bit, and I'm sure we could touch upon some of them at some point, but you aren't wrong. That controller was weird, and it felt like Sega desperate to throw everything at the wall to make something stick.
Yeah, is it, you know, is it the size of our disc? Is it the whir of this thing, you know, starting up and sounding like it's taking off on a jetliner? Like the funky controller, like what can we do to bring people back in? Just make games.
No, I agree. And then they did. And they're much
Yeah.
better off, I think, for it. Sega
Yeah.
Sammy now is what they are. But the Genesis was their height, and some of those games on that list are ones that you and I have played. We agree with. They should be on there. Some of them on the Den of Geek list, maybe not so much. But there's still some winners in there. And I mean, who's gonna be mad about Bloodlines or Hardcore or Sonic 2? Those are insta classics.
Yeah. These are the games we grew up playing. They're the games we love to this day. That's the it's the nostalgia, it's the memories. Like, you know, there's plenty of games I'm sure that other people have played that should, well, that should be on here. And they're not, because you know, that was what we grew up with. And you know, we can all speak truth to about some of these games. And you hit on some of them, Sonic, Double Dragon, Mortal Kombat. These games that we played growing up, and there's a reason why they're on this list, and there's a reason that they should be.
This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G driving off in our crazy taxi. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
And your buddy Mike the Ghoul gonna run to Best Buy and get himself an aux cord because he doesn't have that anymore for the new TV.
So hard to hook them up at this point. I
Yeah.
know. We will see you all next time.